All right. Well, here, I like to sit, so I'm going to sit. But first we wish Brian well on his vacation, well needed and well deserved. But when he first said, hey, Brock, would you be willing to speak on wisdom? I was like, me? Do you know the right guy you're talking to? But honored that he asked. Guys, before we get going here, I do want to say, Jenna, my wife and I, we've been serving here and worshiping here with you guys for about 3 years now. And man, we love this place. We love you. We love worshiping with you. We love going to the different events with you. It's just awesome. It's been a joy and an honor for us to do so. Love you too, Kevin. Just to bring you up to speed on what this sermon series is, you've caught us right at the end of a 5-week study on wisdom, and specifically wisdom in the Proverbs, okay? In week one, Bri, he started us off with how God is not a secret God. He is not a secret teller. He literally said how wisdom is crying out to us, screaming out to us in the streets for us to listen. He also described 4 categories of people in descending order. He spoke about the wise, the naive, the fool, and then the wicked, and how we will naturally trend down if energy is not put in for us to trend up. And then in week 2, Bri took us through the resumes of Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, and how Lady Wisdom could be with us our whole life, accompany us through everything that we do. She could be our life coach. Then in week 3, Bri showed us through Proverbs how wisdom flows through the throne of God. It comes from God. If we want wisdom, you need to get closer to him. Last week, Kim eloquently took us through Proverbs 16 and the wisdom of how we handle our futures, how we first must humble ourselves and then walk with him. For when we walk in full dependency of him, our hearts and futures will align with him. And then Keith took us through Proverbs 15, how a soft answer turns away wrath, God's eyes are everywhere, and how we must guard our tongue. When I've had about a month to think through about Proverbs, and kind of neat how Proverbs is structured. There's 31 chapters in Proverbs, so you can almost read a chapter a day and get through all of Proverbs in a month. Not saying I do that. would love to be on that more often. But when I did read throughout the Proverbs this week, there's just some things that kind of came to mind. Wisdom or Proverbs and wisdom are often taught to us by comparing and contrasting wisdom and folly, right? In one given sentence, you have what wisdom looks like and you have what folly looks like. Sometimes it's a very specific thing, but oftentimes it's general themes, general statements, general principles. We need the Holy Spirit to decipher these principles. So these themes in our lives, we know how to embody them and enact them in our life. Through this reading, and I don't know if you guys are like me, but when I got done reading many times, I felt to myself how many things I need to change. So many things I need to stop doing. So many things that I need to do differently. I felt convicted. I felt guilty. I felt shame. I wrote in my journal every time these things that I need to change, these behaviors that I need to change. Here's some things I wrote down. I need to stop lying. I need to stop telling lies. I need to hang out with better people. I need to stop getting so angry. I need to stop being jealous. I need to be more giving. I need to work harder. I need to stop being lustful. It's crazy, though, because when I think about those things, I oftentimes didn't blame myself for some of those things. I blamed other people, right? It's funny, when I drive to work, I have about an hour commute. I think they had the coaches teach today, because I coach college soccer down at Ashland and work down at Ashland University. When I drive there, I'm like, man, if people would just be better drivers, I wouldn't get so angry at them, you know? It's their fault, you know what I mean? Like, if they at work didn't put so much work on me, I wouldn't have to lie back to them about why I didn't get my work done, You know, if they, it's not my fault, is it? It's theirs. Or do we look at ourselves and try to change these behaviors? So sometimes I think I think of how many of us have tried to lose weight or been on a diet after diet, and we just can't change those things. Or we want to get in better shape, and Jenna and I just moved to West Akron, and man, all of the crap we have, and how many different, there's a gym set, there's a ab roller, there's a Bowflex, not a Bowflex, but something like it, you know, of how many times we've wanted to change our bodies and get in better shape, so it's just the next thing that we buy, but we still don't really change. Or I think of even New Year's Eve, and then you got the resolutions that happen because of it, and then your self-help books, and how many of us have book after book of self-help book, but we really, truly haven't changed. We often chase the effects without chasing the cause. Said a different way, we want to change our behaviors, change on the outside, but we truly don't want to change our heart. When we sin, we often want to focus on changing the sin or that outside things rather than changing the heart that leads to sin. The root problem is our heart. It's not our behavior. You know, the heart is actually written about 900 times in the Bible, specifically 77 times in Proverbs. Again, our issue is far more than behaviors. It's truly our heart. Our heart is the center of who we are. Everything flows from our heart. To use Jesus' words, Jesus says in Matthew 5:28, if you have a lust problem, you have a heart problem. Luke 6:45, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The heart will manifest itself in everything that we do. Again, the heart manifests itself in all that we do. Here's another, Mark 7, 20 through 23. And again, these are Jesus' words. What comes out of a man is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil things, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person. We can easily read Proverbs and attack the behavior issues, but I believe that God is asking us to look far deeper than our behaviors. He's asking us to look at our hearts, the root of our sin. So we look there and read Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say, I have made my heart pure? Who can say, I myself can be clean from my sin? None of us can. And praise him for what he does next is, in Ezekiel 11, he says, I will give them a new heart. I will give them a new spirit. I will put it within them. I will remove their heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh that they may walk in my statutes and keep my rules and obey them. And they shall be my God, or they shall be my people, pardon, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 24, verse 7 says, I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Those words there, I will be their God, and they will be my people, those words are covenantal words. That's covenantal language. I will be their God, and they will be my people. That's the new covenant. Because of Christ's death on the cross and acceptance of that death as payment of my sin, God tells us that he will forever love us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. That while I was still a sinner, Christ died for me and gave himself for me. We need Jesus. Because of Jesus, I have a new heart. I have God's heart. So when I come into relationship with Jesus, God, through the power of his Holy Spirit, gives us a new heart, a heart that can know God, a heart that can be convicted of sin, a heart that can be strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit working in my life. I can turn from sin and I can change. Before Jesus, I couldn't. I needed a new heart. I needed his heart. And because it's his, he will in turn equip it. Now, we can now read these words in Proverbs, and it gives us a different context. Keep your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the springs of life. Proverbs 4:23. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways. Proverbs 2:10, for wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Proverbs 3:3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Proverbs 10:8, the wise of heart will receive my commandments. Proverbs 14:30, a tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. Proverbs 23:15, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. Proverbs 4:4, let your heart hold fast to my words, keep my commandments and live. So I think here today there's probably two types of people, right? Those of us that are here that have been given that new heart, and when we're reading, we're desperately trying to change and be more like him. If that's you, if that's me, we need to rely on him, and he will help change our hearts. That same Holy Spirit that equipped Jesus in his ministry will equip us in our life. He will inspire us to do the things that he desires for us to do. The other side is those of us that haven't been given a new heart. If that's you, ask him for it. God's heart is to give you that new heart. He can change you. He can. Would you pray with me? Father God, just thanks. Thanks for the opportunity to share your truth. And Lord, we ask that we don't be the same. But we know that the only way that happens is through Jesus working in our hearts so that we can be more like you. So for those of us that know you, Lord, I pray that in the different issues and the different things that are going on in our life, the different behavior things that we want to change, Lord, would you give us the power? Would you give us the strength to go to our heart? Would you show us what those heart issues are? That it wouldn't be a behavior modification, but it would be a heart change. You would reveal to me what's in my heart, if it's pride, if it's selfishness, whatever it may be, reveal to us what it is, and then give us the power, the strength to change and turn from it. And Lord, for those of us that don't know you and that don't have that new heart, Lord, I pray that we would receive you as our God, that we would say, God, I want to change, but I need a new heart. I don't know how to do it. Lord, I pray that here in this moment they ask you, that they ask you to, that you would fill them, that they ask you that you would forgive them of their sins, and through Christ, they would have that restored relationship with you, they would be made new in you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.